97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
Hello and welcome into the podcast exclusive of Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors. Tony Colombo here with my partner Bo Matthews and our producer Chad Ellis and Wade Kaminsky, who caught the 112-pound catfish in the Mississippi River. Now, normally, when we put out our podcasts every week, you don't necessarily have to go in order. Of course, we put out this podcast, the podcast exclusive, every Monday. Thank you so much for downloading it and listening to it right now. And we release the show podcast every Friday. Well, this week, if you haven't listened to the show podcast yet, you probably should go back and do so, because we are picking this story up with Wade mid-story. We had him on the show this week to talk about catching this amazing catfish, but we ran out of time, so we are going into overtime now, and we're going to finish up the story about catching this big catfish here in the podcast exclusive. So if you haven't heard that yet, you should go back and check out the show so you are up to speed. We are going to pick it up right here. Wade, we were talking about the fish, getting it in the boat. And then now once you have it, you really want to know how big it is and, figure out the size of this fish that you have. So how did that work? Are you able to weigh it right there in the boat, or do you have to take it to the dock? How do you get that fish weighed once you have it?
So we didn't have a big enough scale on the boat. We had to call around. I called a good friend at STL Catfishing Guide Service in St. Louis. He was able to direct me to somebody that had a big scale. We met up with them. We have a sling that it's made out of nylon. It's about 5 feet long. You put the fish on top of the sling, kind of wrap the fish around it, mm-hmm. and then you manhandle. You pick up on the scale to get the weight.
It's a great problem to have when you're making phone calls trying to find a scale because yours not big enough.
Exactly.
That's got to be a great feeling. Go ahead, Bo.
I do have a question. If you were the type of person to not catch and release, but to catch and grease, is a catfish that big good eating or no?
The studies that are published every year say that the amount of heavy metals in a fish of that age is probably bad for you, especially out of the Mississippi River, Missouri River. That's the whole point of keeping the smaller fish, under 10 pounds. They haven't been around long enough to get the amount of heavy metals inside them, because that just adds up year after year after year. And it doesn't go out of their body, and it'll never go out of your body either if you eat.
Well, yeah, no kidding. I do want to apologize. As soon as I first saw that photo, I just told these guys in the last segment, totally photoshopped, not possible.
Fake.
So my apologies, but the funny thing is the farm store that I go to, they've got these horse troughs, and then the brand on it is Tartar. And so that was the picture that I sent back to Tony when he sent me a picture of the fish, because we had enough tartar sauce if you wanted to try.
Yeah, you need a horse trough worth of the tartar sauce to eat that thing. That's a fact. So we got just a couple minutes left here with Wade Kaminsky talking about his 118-pound catfish caught in the Mississippi River. Wade, the river itself, Mississippi and Missouri, but you caught that fish in the Mississippi, kind of gets a bad reputation for being a dirty river, a polluted river. Is that reputation legitimate, or is it overblown? And what is it a good river to fish on? Is it for people that are looking to, get out casually, maybe get back into fishing more often? Is the Mississippi River a good body of water to do that on?
Yes, absolutely. I think it is. Both Mississippi and Missouri rivers, EPA standards today are much higher than they were years and years ago. St. Louis is a tougher area to fish in for a beginner, just with all the barge traffic. So it'd be good if you were going to go down there to reach out to one of the local guides to get the feel of it. But if you can go upriver, up above Alton to Pool 26 or somewhere up there where the current's a little bit slower, a little bit better places to get out of the main barge traffic, that's a great place to learn. That's where I learned. Yeah. That's where I started fishing back in 2013, and I just had a blast doing it.
And can you, are there other, is there a good, you know, bass fishing or crappie fishing or anything else besides cat fishing in this area in the Mississippi River?
I think the Asian carp population, the silver,
yeah,
big head carp have really taken over and really hurt the fishing.
Yeah, we've talked a lot about that on this show. We've talked a lot about the Asian carp on this show, and man, I'm sure you have. I've only had one experience. You probably had many. I've only had one experience with seeing those fish in person and actually seeing them jump over my boat long ways, like front to back, and cleared us. I was in my 11-foot John boat, but still. And my partner and I looked at each other, and we were like, I couldn't believe it. I'd seen videos, you know, like everybody has seen YouTube videos of these fish jumping out of the water. But until you see it for yourself, you can't believe how big and powerful these fish are, and they are a problem. So, yeah, what are your thoughts on that Asian carp situation? Is that just going to be something that you're going to have to deal with and learn to live with, or is that going to be a problem that really affects the river, you know, in generations to come?
It's a problem, and I think it's going to get worse and worse as the years go through. The one good thing is catfish are predators, and catfish will eat these. I think it was Minnesota or Montana did a study some years back, and a catfish's diet was anywhere from 40% to 60% silver carp and big head carp. So to be able to keep these big fish out in the river to somewhat help keep that population down is going to be big. But there's a point where they just can't consume enough to help it completely.
And before we let you go, you mentioned the Alton Catfish Classic. It's going to be year number two for that awesome tournament. I was blown away last year, Wade, at the number of people that participated, the number of spectators that just came out to watch the weigh-in. And I mean, it looked like a professional, it looked like a, you know, a televised tournament that you see watching the Outdoors Channel, you know, as trucks and boats were pulling up to get weighed in, and then you know, the fish that actually the team that won, you know, the fish that they caught were super impressive. I was blown away, especially since it was year one of that tournament, at what a great tournament was. $15,000 for the winner. I think the top 10 or 12 boats walked away with over $1,000. I mean, it's a legit, what a great tournament, what a great thing to have in our area. I know it's all sold out for the, as far as like boats, fishermen that can participate, but you can come out and watch as part of the Alton Expo this year. Talk about that tournament and what it does for catfishing in our area.
Sure, yeah. It brings the spotlight back to St. Louis and the Alton area. You know, like you said, there's a 100 boat limit to this tournament, and it filled up really quick. Alex Nagy is going to be the one again on the mic. He does a really wonderful job organizing everything. And like you said, you know, the spectators that come out watch this and they get interested in it. And kids get interested in it, and they want to go out fishing. And you know, getting kids outside and getting younger adults outside is, I think, is key nowadays.
Yeah, amen to that. I couldn't agree more. And you introduce, you know, you take your kids out to that, and you watch these boats pull up, and these guys pull out these big catfish, and the kids' eyes get really big, and, you know, maybe that's the moment that they decide they want to be a fisherman, you know, that they want to make this outdoor fishing lifestyle part of their life. And I think that's nothing but good stuff. Bo, did you got one more thing? Go ahead.
Show them the picture of what was in the Post-Dispatch and on social media. That'll get them going on the run for catfish. Wade, I just want to say congratulations. First of all, I also want to thank you for your service in the United States Army. And I just have two questions. Was there any scarring on this fish other than your hook that left a mark? As in, was it caught once before, do you think?
Yeah.
And did you name it?
So I'll answer the first one. It did not appear that this fish had been caught recently. The fish was very clean, very healthy looking. We believe nice. She was a female post-spawn. Surprising how clean she was. And to the second question, no, I no name was given. but I am definitely proud to call her my personal best blue.
Yeah.
Captain.
By how much? Have you ever caught a 100-pound fish before?
No, this is my first one that's in the triple digits. December of 2017, I caught a 90-pound, which was my previous best.
Dang.
Wow.
That's amazing.
Still impressive.
Yeah, that is amazing. amazing stuff and a whole lot of fun. And I mentioned in that first segment, too, what it would be like to catch a 118-pound fish and not set the record. Did you know what the Missouri record was as you were trying to find a scale? And did you think you had a pretty good shot at having the record right there in the boat with you?
I knew around about what it was. I couldn't remember if somebody had broken the 130-pound limit. I will say that it wouldn't have mattered what the fish weighed. We would have released it without even contacting the DNR.
Yeah,
that process takes so long and it's very stressful on the fish, and the chances of it dying while trying to get a certified weight on a certified scale would have been too great, in my opinion.
Wow.
Or just let it go.
Wow. Well, good for you. That's great stuff.
In this story already, Wade, you can tell fish stories happen, and we're only talking a week ago or a few days ago, and Tony's already upped your weight from 112 to 118.
Oh, did I say 118?
So the fish stories are going to grow.
Sorry.
Oh, no, that's how fish stories get started.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. It'll be the record. By the time I'm done telling the story, Wade, you'll have the record. Don't worry about it.
That's right. Don't you worry, buddy.
Wade Kaminsky, thank you so much for your time today. I hope we get another chance to talk with you in the future, and congratulations on the fish of a lifetime. What a great story. Thanks for telling it.
Thank you, guys.
And that is going to do it for this week's podcast exclusive of Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors. Once again, thank you to you and everyone who downloads this podcast. If you know somebody that you think would enjoy the kinds of things that we talk about here in the podcast exclusive and on the show, we would appreciate you sharing this podcast with them. And we are just so proud of the little community that we've grown here and everybody that is able to tune in and join us every week for Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors. For my partner, Bo Matthews, and our producer, Chad Ellis, I am Tony Colombo. Thank you so much for listening. We'll see you back here next week for another podcast exclusive of Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors.
See you, boys.
Get more at 971talk.com.